Hey everyone, before you jump to the conversation about church membership, we want to introduce to you a giveaway which we are having here on the podcast. And what we will be giving away is a $20 gift card to Amazon. To enter to win this gift card, what you have to do is to share this current episode on Facebook, as well as go to iTunes and rate and review the podcast. We will then announce the winner of the gift card on the next episode of the podcast, which will air the first Monday of May. So go ahead and share the podcast episode as well as rating review so that you can enter to win this gift card. Welcome to the Everyday Ministry Podcast. This is James, and I don't have the joy of having Daniel nor Corey on here with me, but I do have the joy of being able to interview a good friend of mine and a church member at Lighthouse Community Church where I serve as the pastor, Jamie Owens. Jamie, how's everything going your way?
Everything's going good for me. You know, just had a long day of work. Me and you had dinner a while ago, and now we're sitting down to record this podcast together, so it's a pretty good day.
And what the listeners don't see is that we're enjoying coffee and watching the Atlanta Braves in the background, and hopefully it won't distract us too much. But if the Braves continue to lose this game, we very well may.
Yeah, right now it's not going very well, but we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's just the reality of the Braves. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. And then at the end of the season, it only gets really bad. But hopefully not this year. Hopefully this year they'll be doing good.
Yep.
But, Jamie, if you would, just take the time to introduce yourself. Just tell us what you want us to know about you.
So my name is Jamie Owens. As James said, me and him are friends. I'm actually a member of his church at Lighthouse Community Church in Vernon. I'm 26 years old, married, one kid, one on the way. I work as a lumber inspector. That sounds a whole lot more official than what I really do, but that's how I like to address that. And that's pretty much me. I'm originally from Carrollton, Alabama, and now I live here in Vernon, Alabama.
That's right. When he says Carrollton, he actually means Marvin's Chapel.
Yeah.
But we won't get on that on this episode.
No, that would take a long time for us to go over that.
It's very similar to, you know, in scenes of movies when they get to the point in the woods or in a location and banjos start playing.
Yes.
Marvin Chapel is about 5 miles past that point.
Yeah. That's probably the best explanation I could give you, so.
But Benevolo wasn't much better. But anyway, so we're sitting here, and I asked Jamie to be on the episode today. As you can probably know already, we're going to be recording an episode on church members. Not the idea of church membership itself, though we will touch on that to begin with. Really just want to, as we go through this series of ministry positions and things of that nature, as we've talked about so often here on the podcast, is that a minister is everyone in the church. And I don't want to steal any of Jamie's thunder for his answer later, but so ministers are everyone in the church, not just the pastor or worship pastor or elders or deacons or anything like that. It's everyone. So we wanted to have this episode on the perspective of those who sit in the pews week in and week out and serve the church in whatever way that comes their way. Before we get into the conversation itself, you would just go ahead and tell us how you come to Christ. And as you tell us how you've come to Christ and salvation, tell us how you ended up at Lighthouse.
Yeah, so I was actually raised in a household that was not a Christian household. We didn't attend church. When I say we were not a Christian household, we actually said that we were a Christian household, if that makes any sense. I grew up basically being told that we were Christians because that's just who we were, and that's who for a long time I believed we were. But then as I kind of grew older and kind of began to understand that a lot of the things we did, a lot of the values we had did not align with this Christian belief, I guess you could say, I kind of moved away from that until I got into college, and at that point I ended up abandoning this idea of Christian faith altogether and became what, at the time, I would have termed it an agnostic, but more atheistic than agnostic. I really didn't believe there was a God, didn't believe this whole Christ thing, didn't believe any of that. And probably for 3-4 years, that's pretty much how I lived my life and my worldview. And while I was there, I ended up meeting a friend who ended up getting me back involved in church, because I had had a few church experiences when I was younger. And the reason I went to church was because this girl was very attractive and I wanted to impress her. So this was going to be my way to get to know her better. But while I was at church, probably the second Sunday I was there, I really, really had a huge impact on my life. The best way I can explain it, and the only way that I know to explain it, is that I realized my sin, but also realized the love of Christ and the forgiveness that we have received through that, through his sacrifice on the cross. Not a very detailed way to explain what happened, but it's probably the best way, because in all honesty, a lot of it is a mystery, because I really went from one day living a completely atheistic lifestyle to basically the next day completely in love with Jesus and in love with God and everything that he has for us in this life and everything about him. So it's really kind of the simplest way I could put it, the quickest way I could explain it. And just so y'all know, the girl that brought me to church, she wasn't interested in me at first. But then about 3 months down the road, she came around and understood that she found a really, really good fellow, and we ended up getting married. So it's kind of...
Do you think she still feels that same way? Or?
I think we have our days. I mean, just it depends on the day. But, you know, yes, my wife, Brianna, she's the one who got me back into church, and now we're married. And as far as how we ended up at the church, really, it was a long process, as James can attest to. I kind of had a feeling that God was calling me into some type of area where I could kind of have a leadership role, but I didn't know what that would look like at the time. And I began speaking to James about it, and he was kind of in a area where his church was beginning to grow, but they needed some help there. And he kind of more or less invited me to come and try to help. And I think I committed to it for like 2 weeks the first time. And decided to go back to our former church.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it was an awful, awful tactic by me. And then a few months after that, I realized that this was where God was calling me and my wife and our family. And we decided to begin coming here once again. Fell in love with the church, fell in love with the community. A few months after that, we moved up here and we're full-time members and love it. We truly love Lighthouse Community Church.
Man, one thing that we can say about y'all's situation that's probably much different than those church members, the average church member, is that most church members don't move 40, 50 miles to go to a church. So I want to recognize that from the get-go. But that doesn't mean that y'all are any more special than any other church member or a church member that goes to that church, you know, that they've always went to. It just shows that you were listening to where God desired for you to be, and you let him lead you there. Yep. And I really feel like he's led you there for the help for the church. But, you know, as you said earlier, you touched on it, but you didn't bring it up completely. You feel called to ministry to some extent later in life and feel like that God is going to use where you're at now to help develop you in that. And I definitely see that in you and see that in the way that you can help at the church as well. But not to get too much into that, you know, me and Jamie know each other well, so trying not to get too detailed about everything. But as we get ready to move into the questions and the conversation for tonight, will you begin by first just defining an everyday minister for us?
Yeah, sure. I think it's pretty self-explanatory, I guess you could say. It's to me, I guess it would be somebody who, of course, is a believer, who takes it upon themselves or just desires to live in a Christ-exalting biblical manner to minister to people in everyday life. Whether that be unbelievers or believers, we take an opportunity to share the love of Christ with people, to tell people about the gospel, but also to build up our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we don't want to forget that as well. And to me, that is that would probably be the way that I would define an everyday minister.
Okay. So as we get into that, I guess I want to ask, would you say that church members is an everyday minister?
Absolutely. I believe that anybody who proclaims to know Christ, this should be something that we desire.
Okay.
So, yeah, absolutely. Anybody who is a church member should be an everyday minister.
Well, and that's why we found the need to have this conversation in this series of ministry positions, because the whole point we're trying to make in the podcast itself is that a minister is more than a pastor of some sort or one of leadership. All believers are called to be ministers of the gospel. And so we, midway through this series, we decided we want to have this conversation because the church members that may be sitting in the pews of each and every one of our churches, they're called to be a minister as well. And so that's what led us to this conversation. That's why I've talked with Jamie about sitting down and recording this tonight. And so as we get into that part of the podcast, I guess the first thing I think is necessary for us to talk about and to define is, why is it important to be a member of a church? Why can't you just commit to three or four churches and go wherever? Or, you know, why is it important to commit to one single church?
I was thinking of how to define this, and probably the best way that I know, and probably a way that would define it much better than I ever could, is to go to Scripture. And I'm not going to do a whole lot of this, but I did want to at least touch on this since we're going to be speaking about this. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, we see that, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body." And then it goes on to speak about more body parts, I guess you could say. But I think the whole point of this, and the whole point of this scripture, is to say that it's important to be a member of a church because we all have a role, I guess you could say. Some of us are hands, some of us are feet, I guess you could put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So all of us have a specific role, but the body needs all of us to function in the way that it was made to function.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I believe that it is important for us as believers to be a part of a church, a member of a church. And specifically one church where we call ourselves members, because I believe that divided loyalties, while it's not bad to visit another church and it's not bad to coordinate with other churches or even take part in other church ministries when it's appropriate, I think there is something about a continuity.
Mm-hmm.
When you're at one church, committed to that church, desiring to exalt Christ and glorify His name in one group. So that's why I believe that is important.
Yeah, I think there's so many good things you touched on there. And, you know, you began, and we edited this out just so everybody knows, but you begin by reading the wrong scripture. And it talks about that God gives some gifts and some talents, and but it makes four comments there, but it's the same God, the same Spirit, the same Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that statement, it says, "For the good works." And so what we see is that God has gifted each person differently.
Yeah.
For the building up of the body of Christ, so that He can fulfill His mission through that body of believers. And I think we're going to address really three parts of that tonight in this interview. Is first and foremost, you know, what is the relationship between the member and the church as a whole? What's the relationship as a member between other members, and the relationship between a member and the pastors of the church? And so I think it's going to be an important thing to address all three of these, because in all reality, those are the three areas of why we are joined to one body of believers. Because, you know, there's a benefit in all three of these areas and what is required from all three of these areas. So as we get into this in more detail, I will say this: neither Jamie or myself are perfect in any of these areas or and know everything about each of these areas. But at the end of the episode, we will give some plugs of the week, and they can go in a lot more detail than we can in 20 minutes. So, Jamie, as we move forward, the next question I have is, what are something people should look at when choosing a church to be a part of?
Yeah, so I'm actually going to probably air some grievances here, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
I feel like, especially in modern Christianity, we have kind of fallen into this belief that the church, or what church we attend, what church we are a member at, should fulfill us, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Would probably be the best way to describe it. You hear things such as, it just didn't do nothing for me, or stuff like that when people describe a church they didn't.
I'm not getting fed, or...
Yeah, that's the one.
I'm not getting anything out of the service.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And just so people know, and just so I don't just sound like a jerk while I'm talking about this, is me and Brianna actually came from a church like that, which, and I'm not going to name the church, but it's a very self-centered, self-serving, what can I get out of this church? And I feel like many, many modern churches, especially very popular churches, and I'm not saying that a big church has to be one of these churches, but I'm just saying that many popular churches are like this, where it is about fulfilling the individual's desire. And I just want to put that out there, because I think that that is the wrong way to look at it. I think that is a selfish way, and I think it is a sinful way to look at it, is to view it through the lens of what can it benefit me.
Yeah.
And yes, there is a place where we have to be learning and being discipled, and we should understand that, but I'm going to kind of twist that a little bit. And I'm going to say, first off, the first thing we need to be looking for is a church that is Christ-centered.
Yes.
That is the most important thing that we should be looking for. And you can, a lot of times you can kind of see this through the preaching, especially, or if it doesn't come out in the preaching, in other ministry areas, where you want to understand who's the focus here. Is it Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or is it the God of myself?
Yeah,
I guess you could say. So that, to me, is the most important thing that we should be looking for, is a church that is Christ-centered. After that, we should be looking for a church that not serves my needs, but serves the needs of the entire body of church people, as in discipling, as in mercy ministries, I guess would be a good example, things of that nature that serve the entire body. So instead of looking at where can I benefit, what we look at is how does it benefit everybody.
Yeah,
and I know that that's a small turn, but it is a turn nonetheless, of looking not to myself, but to everybody, and how this church is helping all in the church grow, glorify Christ, and to be discipled.
Okay. I can't agree more. And I was actually talking to a friend of mine as I was preparing for this episode, and he was helping me come up with questions to ask, and me and him kind of talked back and forth a little bit. The point he made was, you know, pastors and even kids of pastors may view this differently, the everyday church member. For me, it would be hard for me to go to a church without a good expositional preaching, where they preach text verse by verse. That's just a preference of mine. And I don't think that's what anybody should necessarily look for, but that's the difference in talking with someone like that sits in a congregation and a pastor. And so I think that's important, though, as we look at this as ministers in the church, as pastors in the church, for us to be thinking about, you know, are we shaping our service around the gospel itself, around Christ himself, and are we glorifying him not only in the actions outside of the church, but in the church service too? And so often I think this is what we overlook at times. We overlook of what we're preaching and what we're singing and what we're doing. Okay, so we see why church memberships is important. We see what a person should ask for and look for in a church as they're seeking to find one. So we've got to the point where somebody is a church member, right? And they're a member of a local body of believers. And so it leads me to the next question, is that what should a person expect from the church as a whole?
Yeah, I think I touched on that a little bit ago, of we should be seeking a church that desires to disciple and to lead people effectively in glorifying Christ. Now, Christ being the center, and through that, teaching people how to grow as a Christian and how to live out a Christ-centered life.
Okay. That's so how does the individual members live that out for one another?
I believe that we should be seeking to grow each other. That can look many different ways. My preferred way for that to look would be very personal, coming and visiting people, spending time, maybe praying together, maybe studying a book together about Scripture, maybe studying Scripture together, maybe bouncing these ideas off each other. I know me and James do that a lot. Just pretty much, and I don't like this term, but pretty much living life together.
Yeah.
That's kind of an awkward term to me, one of those Christianese terms a lot of people use now, but that's what it is, living life with each other and using that as an opportunity to sharpen each other. It's like a sword sharpening another sword.
Yeah, and I think what's so important when you're looking at the idea of how the relationship between church member and church member exists is, I think, a lot of things, but I really think of something as simple as church members should love one another. And, you know, so often in the church we talk about it as being a family, right? A family of believers. And so if you have that picture, then members of the church should see each other as family and see each other as people they spend time with and help one another and encourage one another, build one another up, teach one another, and admonish one another. We see all of these things throughout Scripture. And what I find so important about this part of the question is that that doesn't happen in the church. As individual members, you don't really build and encourage one another up on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Now, it happens in that moment, but whenever everything bad happens in life, when work is horrible and when the children are just being children and you don't have a peace and quiet and just life gets hard and difficult, when you are really encouraged by those that are in the church is when you can call on them and eat meals with them and spend time with them. And so I just wanted to touch on this as a pastor, that what would just bring so much delight in me is to hear of two families in the church just sitting down and eating a meal together one day a week or just once a month or something like that, because that shows that they're building that bond with one another. And though I think that pastors should stay at churches much longer than the average one does, you know, pastors in general come and go at times. And so, but most church members are going to stay where they are for a lifetime. And so instead of just meeting each other on Wednesdays and Sundays, if they would actually take this serious and come together and build these relationships, you know, how much more could we see being done in the church and through the church of the spreading of the gospel? And I think simply, you know, I don't think this is completely applicable to this, but it comes to my mind directly, is that, you know, what Christ says, that, you know, the world will know His love by the way that you love one another. He's talking to the disciples. And I think it's the same principle for the church. And loving one another is more than just getting along. It's loving each other. So anyway, I rambled too much, but that's all right. Jeremy's probably used to it by now. So as we move on, and as we look at these relationships, what should a church member expect from their pastors and elders and deacons?
Well, Christ-centered leadership, begin there. Effective leadership, I guess, would be important. But also, I think, and it's kind of on the opposite end, is a church member should see the pastors, the elders, and the deacons just as any other person. Many times that can be an issue of putting the pastor too high up. Now, yes, there's some responsibilities that come with it, and I do believe that the church members should use their role as a way to help the pastor, I guess, and to more or less call out areas where that might be a deficiency. But I also think that we have to be careful not to put pastors on a pedestal, I guess you could say, raising them above others. And especially, I kind of feel like we're kind of moving back towards this idea of pastors have a higher calling than everybody else. And because of that, they're more holy, they're more righteous, they're just better overall than I am as a member, a church member. But that's not what Scripture teaches. No. Scripture teaches that we're all a priesthood and that we all, while our callings may be different, one is not higher than the other. They are different, and there should be a bit of a reverence for some, but it's not a higher position rather than a different position. So I think that should play into that. But I do think that church members have a role to play.
You know, what comes to my mind in your answer there is the idea that people have placed pastors so much higher than they ought to be. And I think it's a good thing to some extent, because I think the position in itself is something that should be respected, because it is what God has called that individual to. But, you know, coming from a pastor, and I want to just address this for any church members that may be listening, is that pastors are people too, right?
Yep.
Preacher kids are kids too, right? And so they have bad days, they have difficulty, they have hard times. They go through life just like you do, just like everyone does. And so, you know, we can't put them so far up that if they fall, they can't get back up from it. But the issue, I think, in this, though, is that so often pastors do this. They put themselves above everyone else, and they act like they're better, and they act like they're not individuals and people. And I think that's something that I think pastors are moving away from now, and I really enjoy and appreciate that that's the case.
Well, something else I want to touch on is, many times because pastors are elevated to that position, a lot of people don't want to get too involved in their lives. And I know many pastors struggle with having friends to hang out with and to communicate with and just to talk about life with, or just hang out sometimes. So I also think that as a church member, that could also be a role of you seeking to be a friend of a pastor. And I just wanted to throw that out there, because many times I know pastors speak about how it feels like they don't have a close friend outside of other pastors.
Well, and I think that's a great thing to point out, because most churches only have one pastor. Unless they have a plurality of elders, and I think they should, but unless they have that, most of the churches that may be listening right now, they have one pastor on staff and a few volunteers doing music or youth or something of that nature. And because of that, it can be very lonely at times. So I can agree with that completely. And there was actually a study that went out where it said one of the worst things for pastors is the feeling of when church members leave and they lose that relationship. And I can contest to that. I can talk about that. I've been there, done that, where when a church member left, it was more than just leaving the church. It was leaving that friendship. So I think that was a great thing to point out. All right. So one more question I want to ask is, what should a pastor expect from church members themselves?
Yeah. Well, I just want to throw this out there. Any church members, brothers and sisters listening, get to church on time. Or get to church. Let's start with that. But if you come to church, get to church on time. I'm just going to throw that out there. But no, I'm just kidding. Well, I'm not kidding, but I'm just messing around. I think that pastors should expect commitment from the church members. They should expect a desire to grow with Christ. I don't think that's outside of the bounds of what a pastor should expect from the church members. They should have a desire to lead them in a way where they will grow, and they should expect them to want to do that.
Yeah.
So to me, that's probably the biggest thing.
All right. One thing I'd add, I was going to ask this question, but really instead of asking it, I'll just talk about it, is that the church member should also keep the pastor accountable in his teaching and preaching and biblical doctrine. A church member should be at a point in their walk that they can understand God's word to some extent, that if there is heresy that's sought in the church or false doctrine, that they can call them out on it. And then also, you know, thinking about just the teaching part of the pastoral job, is church members, you know, if you have questions or you don't understand something, talk to your pastor. They're approachable. Ask them questions. Talk to them about God's word. That would encourage them better than if you bought them a $50 Chick-fil-A gift card, right? And we all know pastors like Chick-fil-A gift cards. And that would encourage them more than anything in this world. And so, you know, I would encourage you to do that. And I will echo what Jamie said. You know, show up to church, show up on time, and be involved. I mean, be involved in discipleship, be involved in the service.
Just make it a priority. I mean, this is our Savior. This should be everything to us. Our life should revolve around Christ and serving Him. So it should be a priority, and that should be expected from all church members.
That's right. So as we come to an end, as I said earlier, this is not a complete breakdown of church membership and the role of the pastor and the church and the members themselves. But this is just an episode where we want to encourage the pastors and the leadership of the church, of the view of the church members. But also, if for those that are listening that are church members, I want you to hear the point of view of another church member, that you know what you should be doing. Because I think sometimes as pastors try to speak into that, it's like we're picking on somebody, or we're joking around, or we're not being serious. And so as we come to an end, though, the same thing we end always with, we want to end it with tonight, is the plug of the week. Jamie, do you got any plugs?
Yeah, I'll throw a couple things out there. I believe these are just good for us as church members to kind of grow. And it's going to be some online resources, free online resources. DesiringGod.com is a great one, as well as Ligonier Ministries. I'm not exactly sure of the URL for that, but Ligonier Ministries, it's R.C. Sproul. Now, we're Southern Baptist.
Yes, we are.
And there, that ministry comes from more of a Presbyterian mindset, but there's still some wonderful material. So we might have some differences on baptism and ecclesiology, but there's still much that we can learn from Ligonier Ministries. And, that's what I got.
Awesome. I'll echo both of those. Both of those have been fantastic and just a wonderful resource for me. One thing I want to recommend, well, two books I want to recommend is, one is I Am a Church Member by Tom Rainer. It's just a fantastic book of laying out what church membership is, why it's important. And it's just a simple, easy book to read. But one that goes a little bit more detailed from what I understand with talking with a friend. I haven't read this other book yet, but as I was getting ready for this episode, he recommended me to read this and to pull questions from it. It's a book by Nine Marks called What is a Healthy Church Member? Now, I have not read the book itself, so I know you may be wondering why I can recommend something I haven't read. But I've read about 50% of the books by Nine Marks, and I've never seen one that's bad yet. I'm actually reading one right now called What is the Gospel? Me and Corey's talked about it so many times. And so I would recommend that book as well, as I plan to read it. And then one last one, since Jamie recommended Desiring God, one that really came to my mind is thegospelcoalition.org. They have a portion of their website that's called courses. So thegospelcoalition.org/courses. And this website, what it does is it gives you a breakdown of theological things, but also that has a portion there for books of the Bible, and it gives you an introduction to the books of the Bible, outlines, things like that, videos, just different things that are just fantastic resources that I would encourage anyone to check out and just listen to and watch and to read, that would give you a better understanding of God's Word.
Now, is all that free?
Everything's free except really? For the books you have to buy.
Okay.
But the website itself's free. Huh. It's fantastic. I use it all the time myself. I actually, at one time at church, Jamie would remember, we were doing a breakdown of a book of the Bible every month. And there's some videos that they have on this website that are by...
That is the Bible Project?
The Bible Project, yeah. Videos. And they're about 5 to 10 minutes long, depending on the book. And they just give you the breakdown of that book in such a way that
they're
I think
really
kids
good.
Could almost understand them, mm-hmm. to be honest with you, because they're cartoon drawings, but they're made for adults. It's just a fantastic resource.
Really,
so check that out. And then also, as we get ready to end, do not forget about the giveaway that we're doing. If you can't remember the details on that, listen back to the first 15, 20 seconds of the audio here. Enter to win. We're excited about being able to do that. But Jamie, as we get off of here, do you got anything you want to add?
Yeah, just, you know, us as church members, let's continue to seek to glorify God. I hope that a lot of what we went over today will help you. And God bless you all. And go Braves. Let's go watch the end of this game.
All right, sounds good. I'm about ready to watch the end of the game. Unfortunately, they have not come back yet.
Hey, rally caps on.
But hopefully, they got 3 innings left. Hopefully, they'll pull it together. But guys, I've really enjoyed this episode talking with Jamie. We hope it's been beneficial to you and that it's been edifying. Here at the Everyday Ministry Podcast, we are praying for you and your ministry. We welcome you to reach out to us, to send us messages, talk to us, communicate with us, and we would be glad to just talk with you and encourage you and help in whatever way we can. This has been the Everyday Ministry Podcast, a podcast where everyday ministers get together to discuss ministry.
If you're encouraged by what you hear, please go like our Facebook page, share the episodes, and rate the podcast on iTunes. Don't forget that a new episode drops every first and third Mondays. Our prayer is that these episodes are an encouragement to you and that you would be faithful in the ministry that God has placed you in.